Good morning and happy Sabbath, and welcome to Central Study Hour here in Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. Whether you are joining us locally or from anywhere else around the world, we're so glad that you have joined us today for today's worship service. Today's study, we will be continuing our lesson in growing in our relationship with God. And at the start of growing in our relationship with God, we start at the cross, correct? We acknowledge the tremendous and infinite sacrifice that Christ did for us when he died on the cross for our sins. And so I invite you to join us as we sing hymn number 163, At the Cross. Let us sing all three verses. Here in Sacramento Central SCA Church for Central Study Hour, we want to sing your favorite hymns. Please let us know of your favorite hymns by visiting our website at saccentral.org. Click at the top that says Contact Us, then click on CSH Hymn Requests. There, we please ask that you leave the name of the hymn that you want us to sing, the hymn number, your name, and where you are writing to us from. We look forward to singing your favorite hymns. Our next hymn that we will be singing is hymn number 185, Jesus is all the world to me. Let us sing all four verses.
Strength from day to day without
Thank you for joining us for song service this morning. Please bow your heads as we have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us safely through another week and into your blessed Sabbath day. Please, oh God, please grant us your Holy Spirit to dwell within our hearts, to be receptive to your word and the lesson that will be given to us by Elder Brett Stebbins. We ask that you will speak through him, that we may get to know you better in this important topic of getting to know God. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. We pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Our lesson today is lesson number 2, To Know God, and this lesson will be taught to us by Elder Brett Stebbins. Have a wonderful and happy Sabbath day.
Well, hello, friends. It's great to be with you again today. On the behalf of Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church, we would like to welcome you to Central Study Hour. We have a fantastic staff here and media team that weekly are dedicated to sharing the message of the Lord. So on behalf of them, I would like to welcome you. It's only because of them that we are able to have this program. So Sac Central media team, you guys are fantastic. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us at Central Study Hour. It's wonderful, and it's an honor to be with you today. Today we are going over, we're only in lesson number 2 in our new quarterly, and the new quarterly is growing in a relationship with God. And I hope we're all there. I hope we're all growing in a relationship with God. In lesson number 2, the title of lesson number 2 is named To Know God. Hopefully we all know God and are even striving to learn more about God every day. And we find that in his word. We find that in prayer and many different places. If you're watching this or listening to this and you'd like a copy of this for yourself or for somebody else, feel free to reach out to us. You can call us at 916-457-6511. You can choose to email us at csh@saccentral.org and give us your name, give us your number, your address, and let us know what lesson it is that you'd like. And we'd love to be able to send you a free copy of a CD or DVD. Don't feel ashamed to reach out. We have plenty of people that reach out for these. And we have a whole staff that is readily making CDs and DVDs to be able to send out to you. So we have copies. Reach out. We'd love to be able to send you one. For today's lesson, for lesson number two, To Know God, the offer is C202615. And you can see that on your screen. Reach out. We'd love to be able to send that to you. And make sure to give us your address, full address. So call us at the office or email us. So let's get into the lesson today. And we'll start off with the memory text. The memory text is from John 17, verse 3. And it says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom you have sent." So to know God is to know Jesus. To know Jesus is to know God. And, you know, it says something really important there that we really need to focus on. It says that eternal life is only found in Jesus. So if you are watching this, you are listening, maybe for the first time, maybe you're getting to know God. That eternal life that you've probably heard about and going to heaven and living with God eternally, it's only through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we're able to do that. So we want to know more about that, know more about Him, and we want to know more about God. So I'm really excited to get into this lesson with each and every one of you. And we can kind of go on to, not move on right away, but I looked at the title for Sunday, and it's A Clearer Picture of God. So hopefully through revising or reviewing this lesson, we can have a clearer picture of who God is. And I think we need a clear picture and a clear understanding in order to build that relationship with somebody. Because in order to have a relationship with somebody, you have to get to know them, right? It's I have a relationship with many of you here at church. I get to know you, I see you, we talk, and I learn about your characteristics, and some are good, some are bad, just like mine, right? Some are good, and have strengths, and have weaknesses, but we need to get to know people in order to build a relationship. And there are some of you that I see here at church and I haven't gotten to get to know, and I only see your face, and we need to get to know each other more. And to know God is very important, especially for us who proclaim to be Christians, because we are the advocates for Him. We need to share Him with the world. We need to share the Word, and we need to be able to shine His light. And we need to be those advocates, because people really, they don't naturally just say, "I'm going to grab a Bible and start reading it to get to know God." I mean, it sometimes it happens, but, you know, most of the time it's because it's almost a referral process, right? We get a referral process by talking about God to people, and then they see something in us, and then they go, "You know what? That person said they found a lot in the Bible," or, "I heard this quote, I saw this Bible verse, now I want to pick it up," because people just don't naturally pick up and read. How many pages do we have here, right, in mine? You know, 1,200 pages. People don't really usually pick up 1,200-page books and just start reading them. So this is our job here, to get to know God and to share God with everybody else. And if we want to build that relationship, we have to understand Him. We have to understand His character. We have to get to know Him. And as we get to know God and we read His Word, we see His characteristics, we see His promises, maybe we start to pray with Him. And then after a while, we finally make a decision, after we have enough evidence, is do we want to continue in this relationship or not? Right? I think some of us here have had many different relationships with many different people, not only relationships with a man or a woman, but a relationship with friends and colleagues. And sometimes we go, "You know what? I've seen enough characteristics where I really don't want to grow in a relationship with this person." And then there's other times when we see characteristics and we get to see people and who they are, and we go, you know what? This is a person I would like to really explore a relationship with. So this week, we're going to be looking at God's character. We're going to be getting to know more about God. And it says it in the lesson, and I know it's true. It's that man is losing the understanding of who God is. There's too much information out there. And it's hard to make a decision when you have too much information. Everything gets kind of cloudy, the water gets muddy, and it's really hard for people to be able to make decisions on whether they want to build a relationship with God or not. So obviously we recommend let's stay off of social media if we want to make that decision. Let's go here, right? Let's go to the Word of God. And because the water is not muddied here. We're going to be able to get to know him very well in the scripture. Because God is misrepresented and misinterpreted all the time. Right? I hear people and I speak with people and they say, oh, you're Christian, right? Yeah. Well, I don't believe in God and I don't like God because of this. And they name out a couple of characteristics and you're just like, That's not the God I know, right? Let me try and share the God that I know. So, man really struggles these days with God, and we need to help those who are struggling get a clearer understanding of who God is, and we can help with that. As we move on, and hopefully we're in the last days, and we're moving towards the even lighter days. Those last days are going to be filled with the last message that is all centered around God's character, who God is. And his judgment is love, his punishment is love, his gift is love. God is love. And some people don't know that. They don't know who God is. So this week, we're going to get a better understanding of that, and we're going to build our relationship with God. So if you want to, go ahead and turn into Sunday's lesson. Sunday's lesson for the day is titled, A Clearer Picture of God. Who here wants a clearer picture of God? My view is pretty clear, but I could use a little bit more. I could see a clearer picture of God. He comes into focus more and more in my life, and hopefully it's the same with you. And the Bible gives a very clear picture of who God is. So in order to clear up our vision, let's go to the Bible even more. Have you ever... You know, as we start to get a clearer picture of God, have you ever seen those videos? Maybe not, but there's some examples where I've seen they bring out a real good artist. And then they go, okay, you need to draw this. You need to draw a man walking in a mountain. And they say, okay, draw it in 5 seconds. And they have to draw it in 5 seconds. And you go, what's that? And they say, okay, now we'll give you 15 seconds. And the picture gets a little bit clearer. And they say, okay, now you can have a minute. And, you know, he's starting to draw, and maybe he even adds a splash or two of color. And then they say, okay, now the artist has 15 minutes. And you see the different drawings, right? You see that five-second one where it's just like, wait, what's that? You know, and then it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. So I kind of think about that as, you know, when we're getting to know God, when people first hear about God, they just see this kind of brief outline. And then as you start to hear more about God, the picture starts to come together. And then once you really start getting into his word and getting into the church and understanding and praying, in the end you have that 15-minute drawing where there's color, it's vibrant, there's life, there's detail. But a lot of people don't take the time. They want the 15-second view of God rather than the full view of what God is. So as I was kind of going over this, kind of thinking about getting a clear picture, that's kind of what stood out to me. And those videos are kind of cool if you haven't seen those. They go from almost nothing to just these masterpieces. I wish I was an artist. I'm not. I have other talents, but art, drawing is not one of them, and singing is not another one for me as well. Many of you can sing very well. I can't. So, you know, man's explanation, if we are to just explain who God is, we're not maybe that 5-second picture of who God is. Well, we're probably in that 15-second one where we just have this brief outline with us, right? And then I'm talking about without the Bible. But once we get the Bible, we get this really nice, clear detail of who God is. So the lesson says, it says in here in Sunday, it says that the Bible seeks to peel back the veil between the seen and invisible world, the seen and unseen world. The Bible wants to kind of peel that away. So a lot of people don't see the God that we see, and the Bible wants to peel off that and really give us the information that we need on who God is. So from Revelation, or from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we read about one true God, a beautiful, wonderful, loving God. When we read it all together, you can pick one verse out and you go, wait, what's that verse right there? That doesn't look like a very loving God to me. But we need to take it right as a whole. And here are a few characteristics of God. Omnipotent, all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's just, merciful, kind, patient, full of wisdom, all wisdom, grace, forgiveness. He has the power to defeat death. He's a king. And he has an eternal nature. He's always been and will always be. So here's all these characteristics of who God is. And who doesn't want to know somebody like that? Who doesn't want to build a relationship with somebody like that? I mean, it can be a little intimidating, right? Because he's all those things. But I want a better relationship with him. I want to grow in my relationship. I want to help others grow in their relationship with him. And I think the more, correct me if I'm wrong, but in my experience, the more you get to know God, the more you desire to be with him, the more you want to know even more and more. You know, when you're in a relationship with somebody that just makes you happy, full of joy, you feel comforted, you want to build that relationship. And that's what God is to me. And that's what, you know, in heaven, that's what God is to all of his followers, except for that one. There was this one person, this one angel in heaven, and we all know his name. He wasn't very happy for some reason. And he doubted the character of God. And it says right in your lesson towards the end, right before he has you read in Genesis, there's a quote from Testimonies of the Church that said, "It is Satan's constant study to keep the minds of men occupied with those things which will prevent them from obtaining the knowledge of God." So Satan, Lucifer, he doubted God, and he doubted the character of God. So his job from now on is to create a barrier so that we do not get to know him. And he doesn't care what type of picture of God you have in your mind, as long as it's wrong. He doesn't want us to have the correct picture of who God is in our minds. So the lesson has us take a look at that conversation. The first conversation that Lucifer and Satan was able to have with Adam and Eve. So the lesson has us go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and I'll go ahead and read those. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Even most of us know what this is, but let's look at this conversation. Starting with verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what really did Satan say? What did that serpent say? The first thing he said to kind of instill that doubt, he said this. He said, did God really say that? Right? He just made a statement, but he insinuated that God was lying. He said, did God really say that? Huh. And the next statement that he said, he doesn't want your eyes to be opened because he knows you will be like him. So it's pretty tempting, right? She's like, okay, if she has this doubt when the first statement, the first question, and then the second statement, she's like, wow, I mean, God is kind of cool. I mean, he's all powerful. He's great. I love his character. Huh, if I could be like him and eat this fruit, hey, maybe I want to do that. At the end of the lesson, there's a quote from Patriarchs and Prophets that says this, from the opening of the great controversy, it has been Satan's purpose to misrepresent God's character and to excite rebellion against his law. You see that? Misrepresentation and then rebellion. That's what he did, and that's what he wants to continue to do, right? And so the question is, do we see that in the world today? Do we see misrepresentation of God? All over the place. Satan pretty much tells us all the time, you can be like God if you do this, if you do that. And he also excites rebellion. Has anybody seen rebellion going on in the world today? Everywhere, right? It's everywhere. There's rebellion all over the place. And that has to be the work of Satan. And it shows us that he has such a tight grasp on the world today because that's what we see. We're seeing he has done a fantastic job at his work. He really has. I believe we've done a fantastic job as well sharing the word of God with the world, but he has done a really good job in misrepresenting God. So that's where we come in, and we need to help, and we need to bring people to God, to get to know God, to build a relationship, and that will be contagious, and that will spread. So changing the work that Satan has done needs to be able to give people a clear understanding and a clear picture of who God is. So that was Sunday. Let's move on into Monday. Monday, the title is God is Holy. And it's true. The lesson starts off with a very true statement today. And it basically says, holiness is not a word that many of us use on a day-to-day basis. When we're not talking about God, do we ever use holiness in our life to describe somebody? I mean, no, not to me, right? I mean, we have wonderful, caring, loving pastors. That's usually not the word that I use to share about them or about other people. I'm not saying they're not bad. They're fantastic. But holiness is just not a word that we use a lot because there's not a lot of it in the world today. There's not a lot of holiness, right? When holiness is mentioned, it is really for the purpose of talking about God, because look at this. If we look at the definition of holiness and being holy, it's being set apart for a special purpose. Okay, in that definition, I can relate that to several of you here, right, and our pastors. It is embodying absolute moral purity. I think we're getting there, but, you know, I don't know if all of us are quite there yet. only the Lord is, right? And it says, being entirely devoted to God. Many of us here are very devoted. Are we entirely devoted? I could use a little work on that, trying to get to that entirely devoted part, right? And it also says this, and none of us fall under this definition. That's why we don't refer to holiness and other people being holy, because it says here, it is a complete separation from sin. None of us have a complete separation from sin yet. Yet. Hopefully we will. So that's why the word holiness is not just thrown out around in our lives today. Because there's only one that is truly holy. And that is God. And we need to share that with everybody. So the lesson asks us to read a couple of verses here that describe God. And I'll go ahead and read those. There's four different verses. The first one is in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And it says this, "And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." Look, it's interesting here. It says God is holy, and it says that we can be too, right? But, you know, God is, we're reading a couple of verses here where God is saying that he is holy. But he's not saying it in a bragging way. He's not saying, I'm holy, you know, to build up his character. No, he's simply just describing who he is. He's describing his characteristic. That's who he is. He is completely separated from sin. He is absolute moral purity. He is separated apart with a special purpose. All those defining definitions that we just read, that is him. So he's just stating the facts. He's not bragging here. Because he says it quite a bit, I am holy, right? And we'll see these. The second verse that the lesson has us read is in 1 Samuel 2:2. It says, "The one is holy, or no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our Lord." So the previous verse said that we could be holy. And this one's saying is that we are not. Right? We can't compete with God in his holiness. Right? When we all get to heaven, there's going to be a different story here. But we're still here on this earth, and we're still working out things. That's why it's really important, this lesson that we're talking about, growing a relationship with God. Isaiah 57:15 says this, "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Right? God lives in the high and holy place. He is in heaven, right? And he has been around forever, for eternity. Ezekiel 38:23 says, "Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." There's a lot of people out there that don't know he is the Lord, but he is. He is the Holy One. The Bible describes God as the epitome of holiness, completely separated from evil, 100% good from beginning to end, free from any selfishness, free from any egotistical moves, and he is all powerful. All those things and more, that's who God is. If God was not holy, and he was all powerful, that would be something to be scared of. That would be tyranny, right? We would be a little worried about somebody who had that much power and was not holy. We see a lot of leaders in this world that have a lot of power and they're not holy. But we don't have to be scared of God. We don't have to worry about him. There are no cause for concerns Because he is holy. And God can't be who a lot of people think that he is because he is holy. And a lot of people, like we talked about earlier, they have a misinterpretation or misunderstanding of who God is. So holiness is the most important characteristic of God, right? As well, I'll skip over that part. Anytime that God has been in the presence of man, there has usually followed this same occasion, what has happened to these people. Usually when God has been in the presence of man, man has removed their sandals because they're stepping on holy ground, because God, even just being around them, that is a holy place. They take off their sandals. They hide their faces from God because we are so unclean and so unholy that we can't even stand to look at God or we're going to die. And they either bow down or they almost fall down as dead in front of him. That is what it is like, and we see that in many different examples of anybody who comes into the presence of God. In the lesson, it says, as humans, we are sinful and so unholy that we cannot bear to stand in the presence of God. And I think that's why people have a hard time with God today. Everybody wants to be equals today. I want to be equal to somebody. They don't want to have this higher power. Why do I have to take off my sandals in front of God? Why do I have to bow down in front of God? Right? People don't want to be to take anything away from themselves. Everybody wants to be equals this day. And I think that's why people really have a hard time with God. I remember when I was in the world big time and I was doing a lot of things. A lot of you know my story. But when I was there and I would get around holy people that were, you know, a pastor or somebody that was just pure and good, I didn't feel good. They made me feel bad. And it was nothing that they did. They were just so pure and good and loving that my life reflected the opposite. So it was hard for me to be in their presence. And that's what it's like today. People don't want to be around God because it makes them look bad. And we don't like to look bad. We don't like to feel bad. But if we move on into Tuesday, in Tuesday's lessons, the title of Tuesday's lesson is God is Love. So let's get into that, because we don't have to worry about being in the presence of God, because God is love. God is not this tyrant. He's love. He's loving. He cares for us. So we all use, and all of us here, we all use that word to describe God, right? God is love. We find that in 1 John 4:8. God is love. It doesn't say that God is loving. He is love. Of course, he is loving. But he is love, and love is the essence of who God is. That's what we use to describe him. So people picture love as something different than what love is in the Bible. Us humans, we have kind of a distorted view on what love is. So the Bible kind of brings us back and really shows us what love is. And there's a passage that the lesson has us go to, and it really talks about love. It talks about how God is love. And I'd like you to follow along. If you have your Bible, please follow along and let's read this. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. And it's just so good. I'm going to read all those verses. So yeah, towards the end of the Bible here, we have 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 19, and I'll go ahead and read those here. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and he has seen and testified that God has sent the Son as a Savior to the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. We have known and believed that the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because love involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There's a lot there. You can dive into that. There's a lot there. But we know and we see that God is love. Everyone who loves is born of God. And if you don't love, you don't know God. So I thought a lot about this week. This passage. And I know a lot of people who don't believe in God, and they don't want a relationship with him. But I think some of them love me. So I did. I thought a lot about this week. And I have a question. Just think about it. You don't have to answer. Is it possible to truly love without God? We're not talking about us here in the church. We can love. We have God. But those who are outside of the church, who don't know God, can they love? When God is love. Because if God is love, and we have two people, and we have God is love. If we take God out of the equation, is there love? Just think about that, right? If we look at verses 7 and 8 again, it says this, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So I come back to this question, right? I have this example. If I love my brother, I have God. But if my brother does not have God, does he have love? Right? So I thought a lot about this week. And it's a hard thing to wrap our hands around, because God is love. So if we take God out of the equation, is love truly there? Is love truly there if God is not there? So you can think about that. We'll put that one aside. I have another question. Now, how about this? Those who do not love God, if they do, if your answer can somebody have love without knowing God? And if your answer to that question is yes, then if somebody who does not know God has love, do they have a little bit of God? Right? Is there a little bit of hope? Right? I just thought about this because I have a lot of people who don't know God in my life or don't love or have completely rejected God. I feel love from them. Genuine love from them. But can you have true love without God? Because God is love. It's right. This is hard to understand, right? And maybe it is because there is true love because I have God on my end. Even though they don't have God on their end, in this relationship, there is love because I've got God on my end. I don't know. It's just something to think about, right? Because love is very important for us to have. And in a love in a godly way, in a caring way. So the lesson also talks about we fully don't know what love is. And back in the day, that God's people did not truly know what love is. So God had to send his son into the world to show love. Because the people at that time, I think they did have love at one point, but it was very obvious that by the time that Jesus came into this world, there were a lot of people that didn't have love, that professed to be knowing God and being with God, but their actions showed no love. It's rigid laws and all these things, right? So God sent Jesus to love us and to show what true love is. Sacrifice and love and giving somebody's life for somebody else, right? That's where Jesus was, and we'll get into that in the next lesson. And it says here in the verses we just read in 1 John 4 that love is kind of the center over everything that God is. And it even says here, and it talks about this in the judgment. And I kind of thought about the judgment, and really it kind of comes down to one question: whether we have the chance to get into heaven. That one question would be, from God to us: do you love me? And if the answer is yes, eternal life with him. And if the answer is no, we're not getting in, right? I was thinking about that this week. It's very simple, and it's just one question. And if it's, yes, Lord, I love you, Jesus gets this book and goes, is this going to show me that you love me? Because let's go here. Let's turn to this. And some of us might be like, no, God, don't open that book. Maybe I didn't fully love you. But right, because if we truly do love God, our actions are going to show it. All right, time is ticking away here. So the greatest expression of love has been revealed through the gift of Jesus to us, right? Because God is love. So let's go on into Wednesday. It is God in creation. It's a really nice study for the week, right? And God in creation. And if you turn to me in Wednesday, it starts off by saying that, right? We all know how the Bible starts off, right? It starts off with, in the beginning, God, right? And we know that verse, right? Well, the word that is used for God here is Elohim, which refers to the God as the God, the one true God, Almighty, all-powerful, creator. It refers to God as this transcendent God and one that has full understanding of everything. And he's in control. And when he speaks, things happen. Things are created. That's the word that they used here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Elohim. If we go into Genesis chapter 2, Already in the second book of the Bible, God is known by and going by a different name. A different name appears, and that is the name Yahweh, which still means the one true God, but in a more personal way, in a way with a covenant, with a relationship with us. And it kind of reflects God in this loving, wonderful, personal way. Because if we look at these two verses, it says here, it says, the lesson asks us, what do we notice here? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What I see there, that's God. That's big picture God, right? He is creating. He's putting all these masses together. He's stepped back. He's all powerful. He's ordering and visualizing how things are going to look like. And he's commanding. And that's kind of to me the big picture God. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So we see a personal God now. He's not way over big, powerful God, way a ways. He's right there. He's in the mix. He's in the middle. He's on the earth. He's forming man. He's putting details, and he's on his knees, and he's breathing life into us. So we see here big picture God and personal God. And you know what? I think it's very important to know both gods. Right? The big picture God that's in control of everything, created this wonderful earth and the universe and everything that's here. But it's also very important that we realize that there's a God on his knees next to us and wants to give us his breath and give us life. And he's there for us and he's intimate and he's by our side. Because I think the problem with the world is they only see this big picture God. They don't see this personal God, somebody who is right there in the mix with everything that we have. So God is the God of creation. He created all. He's always been around, right? We need to know all these things to be able to get to know him and build a relationship with him. Let's move on into Thursday. Thursday is titled Emmanuel. God is with us. And the lesson starts off in the lesson by saying this. It says, if you are looking to share with a non-Christian a description from the Bible about God's character, where would you turn? We should turn to Jesus, right? If we're going to share one thing with a non-believer of God, we should be sharing Jesus. He's a little bit more easy to relate to rather than that big picture God. He is that interpersonal God that came here in Jesus, and he lived with us, and he was with us, and he reflects God, everything. And God was revealed to us through Jesus. So he is what we should share. It says in John 14:9, it says, He who has seen me has seen the Father. In order to know more about the Father, we just look to Jesus. In his words, his actions, his manners, and his great love toward humanity. That's why in the Bible we find four different stories about the life of Jesus. Four different authors that are sharing about the life of Jesus. Because one wasn't enough. We had to get all these different perspectives. And in Matthew, it was written for Jews by Jews. And we see here Jesus as the Messiah in Matthew's writings, the long-awaited one who's here to fill the promise, to be that Messiah too. He's speaking to God's people as one of God's people, right? Matthew is writing all of that, and his writing is very focused around that. The Messiah, the promise, and all of that, right? And then we have the book of Mark, and we see Jesus, and he's living, and he has an active life of of service and sacrifice. We see that Mark really describes Jesus as always thinking about others and always being responsive to the will of God. He has that connection with God the Father. And then we see in the book of Luke, we see in depth how Jesus felt, right? We see his feelings that were brought out. We see all of these different things. This humanity and compassion is brought out a lot in Luke's writings. And in John, we see that that Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. We are invited to believe that, you know, Jesus is here and that he's part of our spiritual lives. So each one of those authors describes Jesus. It's the same. There are a lot of the same stories, a lot of the same historical documents that they refer to with Jesus, but just expressed it in a different way. So, you know, I was talking to a person not too long ago that was starting to study the Bible, and they're just like, so if I can just read one of those, I'm good, right? He says, no. He said, but aren't all four kind of the same story? He said, yes and no at the same time, right? It's that if you're wanting to build a relationship with God, you need to read all of these stories to really get a great understanding. If we look at the specific name of Jesus, we find that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, a name that Jesus had when he was here. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And in the definition, in Jesus' life, that's who he was. He was God with us here on the earth. And then it's interesting that if we look back, if we look to Matthew at the very end of Matthew, in Matthew 28:20, it says this, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. And we'd like to mention again, we do have a free CD or DVD offer that we'd like to give to you. We have those readily available. Reach out to us, and we'd love to be able to take your name, your number, your address to send those out to you. The offer for today's lesson, number two, to know God in this quarterly is C202615. You can reach us in the office at 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@sacsentral.org. So thank you so much for joining us today for Central Study Hour.